On to item 18, legislative update.
This is a legislative update about legislation that was enacted this year and becomes effective on January 1st, 2019. We do have a two-page memo in the agenda packet. There hasn't been much that really impacts CICERA, but this is a summary of those bills that passed that may be of interest to CICERA and the Board of Retirement. The first one is AB 2076. It has to do with a correction of an error that took place in Los Angeles County at La Sierra. They got this legislation through to make sure that they have a process in place and authority to make a correction in a particular situation that applied to a number of members. And so this particular change in the SURL really only applies to La Sierra. Next, we have SB 1270, and that is a SURL change as well. It was sponsored by SACRS, and it applies to those retirement systems that opted to operate under the statute. And the change is to allow counties, the County Board of Supervisor, to adopt this section, which would allow the retirement board to appoint assistant administrators and chief investment officers on the basis of being exempt from the county civil service rules or merit system rules. And so essentially it would be an exempt employee, exempt from those rules, which usually means that they're an at-will employee. So again, that really is now a change in the SURL, but it only applies to those systems who operate under that statute. And in addition, this particular option has to be opted into by the Board of Supervisors of that county. For CICERA, we are not governed by that statute. We are governed under 315.22.9. That's the government code section. And pursuant to that section, CICERA personnel are employees of the retirement system, subject to terms and conditions of employment established by the Board of Retirement, not Contra Costa County. The next few bills are outside of the SURL. They don't apply to SURL systems. They apply to CalPERS and CalSTRS, but they are of interest. The first one is AB 1912, and that has to do with joint powers agreements. There is actually a section in this that if we had any JPAs as members of our system, this would apply to them. But my understanding is CICERA does not have a JPA as a participating employer. This change was intended to deal with a situation. Of course, a JPA is a joint agency that has two or more parties to it that share a power. And so this is intended to deal with a situation of either the agency itself, the JPA, or one of the parties to it can't meet their pension obligations and pay CalPERS or whatever system they're with contributions. And this clarifies or makes it clear that the agency, the JPA, would still be liable for the obligations, as well as each member agency within the JPA. So it really has to do with how to deal with a defaulting employer.
Karen, could CICERA take a JPA that was Contra Costa County based?
Yes.
Do we have any? I assume we don't.
My understanding is that we do not.
Okay.
If we did, the change in this law is in Government Code Section 6508.1. And in their agreement, as they form it, they would have to make sure to specify that they're essentially jointly and severally liable to CICERA.
So you're severally liable. You would be very reluctant, I would think, on that kind of a basis to enter into a JPA with a weaker, weaker agency.
As far as agencies wanting to become part of a JPA?
Right.
Possibly, yes.
Yeah. Well, we have many JPAs within the county. More often than not, they're the cities and the county, and we sort of rotate staff, being you have a TAC, a technical advisory committee, that then makes a lot of the recommendations, but you don't necessarily have a staff member for the JPA that would then be subject to retirement benefits. And you oftentimes will rotate who's the fiscal agent, who's sort of leading the TAC, the Technical Advisory Committee. So there are quite a few that we belong to.
But they frequently don't have their own employees?
Right. Okay. Generally, you just rely on the cities and the county's employees to be the ones that are running the JPA. Okay. And so we don't have that situation where you've got a separate staff that would be paid benefits.
It's the separate staff issue that I was thinking
yeah.
of.
Yeah.
So there are Searle systems that actually have a JPA as one of their participating employers.
Right.
So that's where this would come into play. Okay. Next is SB 964, and that one applies to both CalPERS and CalSTRS, not apply to Searle systems. It has to do with investments and particularly climate-related financial risk. And this would require CalSTRS and CalPERS to analyze and research in their investment portfolio climate-related financial risks and make periodic reports, public reports to the board. It does specify in this legislation, in this bill, that this is not to require the boards to make decisions, act one way or another, with regard to investments that would be inconsistent with our fiduciary duty. So it preserves that, but it's obligating them to now research, analyze, provide these public reports to the board about how that issue is impacting their investments. Next is SB 1413, and that's pension pre-funding. This is a CalPERS, this would impact CalPERS. It establishes for CalPERS a pension pre-funding trust fund, and the state or other CalPERS participating employers could opt to join into this fund. They would have to have an agreement with CalPERS, and CalPERS would invest their assets and help them pre-fund their pension obligations.
So would that be like a part of CalPERS, or would it be like a 115 trust?
This says that the CalPERS board has to go ahead and create this fund, and so I suppose they may have an option of doing that in-house, or maybe I don't know if it's a 115 trust fund. I don't think it is, because this is pension obligations, not OPEB obligations. But either way, CalPERS board would have to decide how this is going to be structured.
And just for clarification, there are 115 trusts for pension obligations.
Okay. FYI. Yeah. And this statute, this bill doesn't.
Okay. I just didn't know if it was like a subset of CalPERS or that. Okay. I'm good.
Yeah, and just to clarify, this bill doesn't really get into the details of the tax implications, and the 115 section 115 that was referenced is a tax code item, and I think this bill didn't really get into that.
Okay.
So more to come on that from CalPERS on the exact structure of this fund. That's it.
Okay. Any questions for Karen? Thank you, Karen.